Number five, I'd like to close this series of messages. As we've tried to have four messages on the Bride of Christ, I pray that you'd pray for me this morning, that God would touch us and help us to be a blessing to the church. I'm glad that God thanks a lot of the church. This world don't thank much of the church, but I sure am glad that God has His eyes on the church. The book of Ephesians, where we brought our text from, if you're willing and able, it's standing honor. The reading of the Word of God found over in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 5, verse 21. Me and my wife, we counseled with a young family yesterday. It's fixing to be married, and we went over some of these. If you want your home changed, follow Ephesians 5. For the Bible says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, do you see that? We're subject unto Christ. So let the wives be their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. Verse 26, that He might sanctify, or to make it holy, and to cleanse it with the washing of the water by the Word. If you want to be more like Christ, then you must get in the Word of God. The Bible says that He might present it to Himself. Don't forget there, we're going there in a moment. That He might present it to Himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loves his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it even as the Lord the church. For we are His members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Verse 32, where I developed this series from, this is a great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. You may be seated today. Father, we love You. We thank You this time that we've been able to come out from this old world. God, You said, come out from among them and be You separate. Lord, we're not better than anybody else, but God, You saved us. You live inside of us. We are a called out people. We are a different people, and I thank You for that. I want to thank You for the songs that's been sung this morning, how our hearts have been touched. We thank You for the Spirit of God that's in the atmosphere of worship today. Now I pray that You let preaching be easy a few moments. We want to remember our friends at Ukraine today, all those missionary families that scattered in that country. I pray, oh God, You would help them in this day and this hour. Help America. God, help our president. I pray that You'd bind every hand. And God, You'd bind every foot that's coming against this nation. And we ask that the Lord Jesus would get the honor and the glory. And we'll be careful to honor You for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Preaching on the Bride of Christ as the church. The church has been identified as a body, as a building. But here Paul identifies the church as a bride. We realize that we have a bridegroom. John seen Christ. And he said, I am the friend of the bridegroom, pointing to Christ. So Christ as the bridegroom and the church as the bride. The first Sunday that we dealt with that, we talked about the bride was signified. When Adam was in the garden, he seen as God looked upon Adam, as he was to name these animals that came by him, male and female. But yet Adam did not have a wife. So with the plan of God, he said, Adam, I'm going to provide for you a wife. He brought unto him Eve out of his side. And so there we've seen the first message on the bride of Christ, and it's signified. But then secondly, we looked as the bride of Christ specified. There were Abraham the father. He sent out the servant to take a bride for his son. There we've seen Isaac and Rebekah as the camels were coming. She lighted off the camels and went unto the great bridegroom. There we've seen the bride of Christ specified. Sunday before last, I preached on the bride sanctified. I believe with all of my heart, in the local church, you don't hear much preaching about the sanctification of the saints of God. You remember that we were taught that when we receive Christ, Christ comes to live in our life, that we are sanctified positionally. We are declared righteous by the cause of Christ. But then not only are we sanctified positionally, we have a term that we're sanctified progressively. The Bible says that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it till the day of Christ. I might not be where I could be this morning, but I'm a long way from where I used to be. Amen. Christ is more lovely. It shines brighter than it ever has in all of my life. And I sure am glad that not only positionally have I been sanctified and declared righteous by the work of the cross, but that in the practice of my everyday life, I find out that I'm being sanctified progressively. He's still working on me. But this morning, I'd like to close this message not only with the bride and her signified, the bride and her specified, the bride and her sanctified, but I want to close with the bride and her satisfied. The bride and her satisfied. You know, as I began to think and develop this sermon, I got to thinking about the courtship with my wife. Me and Miss Renee, we met years ago. We went with our parents to Panama City Beach, Florida. I seen Renee by the pool. This week, Sophie was staying with us, and she said, "Pop, what was the first thing that you ever said to Mimi?" I said, "This is what I said. I said, what time is it?" She said, "Well, why did you say that?" I said, "I had to break the ice." Somebody say amen. But I'm going to tell you, that woman stole my heart away. As I lived in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, and she was in a little town in Bowdoin, Georgia, some 240 miles apart. Oh, how I longed to see her. And on that great wedding day, what a wonderful day it was that she became my bride and we became one. And oh, how God has blessed our family. But this morning, I want to remind the attention that the church is the bride and Christ is the bridegroom. There's a great marriage that's going to take place. Oh, it's going to be something to see. And I want to say this morning, first of all, about the bride of Christ and her satisfied. Let's look at the predetermination of the bride. How did this thing get started? The predetermination about the bride. Let's look at Matthew 22. We have a gospel that relates to this in Matthew 22. And you hang on with me. I won't preach a long time this morning, but I do want to get you to where we need to get today. Matthew 22, the bride satisfied. Let's look at the predetermination of the bride. Now, Jesus is speaking. And isn't it amazing? In this gospel, he has something to say by parable. He says, "The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. And again he sent forth other servants, saying, 'Tell them which are bidden, behold, I prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed.'" And I want to say this, "And all things are ready. Come to the marriage." Lost person, all things are still ready today. You can accept Christ by what He's done for you on an old rugged cross. And so there, that opportunity, it still goes out in this day and this hour, that you too can come to the marriage. Now this morning, this predetermination of the bride, you'll notice in verse 2, it was prompted by the Father. It was the Father's idea. Before the world ever got started, God predetermined that there would be a bride for His Son. It was not the Son's idea, but it was the Father's idea. Aren't you glad that God had an eye on you before you ever knew there was a God? Aren't you glad there was a God that sent His Son to Calvary to die for the sins of the whole world? The predetermination about this marriage or this bride, it was prompted by the Father. In verse 2, the Bible said, "The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king." And here's the thought, which made a marriage. It was the Father's idea. It was prompted by the Father. But then secondly, you'll notice it was also promised by the Father. He said in verse 2, "A certain king which made a marriage for who? For His Son. And His Son only." So here, this predetermination of the bride, it was prompted by the Father. It was promised by the Father. But look in verse 3, and don't forget this, it was promoted by the Father. You see, that invitation still goes out. He sent forth His servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Verse 5, they made light of it. And that's where we are in this day and hour. It's not even changed from 2,000 years ago. They made light of it and went their ways, one to his farm and another to his merchandise. You say, well, preacher, was promoted by the Father. Yes, look in verse 9. He said, "Go ye therefore to the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage." So those servants went out in the highways and gathered together all as many as they found. Watch, both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. Time out, preacher. Only good people are supposed to come to church. Well, time out. The Bible says there's none good, no, not one. Any goodness in us is because of the righteousness that Christ has imputed into us. And we must realize that the church house is not only for saints, but it's for the sinners to come. You know, if you go to church, you ought to find some sinners there. You ought to hear the gospel preached there. If we go to a hospital, we find sick folks. And so you'll notice it was prompted by the Father. He sent His servants out to bid them to this great marriage. Can I tell you, this has been going on for over 2,000 years. From the prophets to the disciples, they've been preaching the gospel, declaring the good news of the Lord Jesus, saying, "Come. Come by the way of the cross. And this morning you must be saved. You're not going to just live a good life and wake up in heaven one day. You must make preparations to meet your God." This morning we see the preparations that was made for this bride. It was prompted by the Father. It was promised by the Father. And it was promoted by the Father. But I want you to notice in verse 10, it was also provoking by the Father. It offended Him. People think that they're just going to throw something in the face of God and He's going to laugh. Matter of fact, the Bible says in the book of Psalms, He's going to laugh at the sinner's derision that rejected Him. A lot of people think that God's just smiling about their sin. Friend, God is holy. He's high and He's lifted this morning. A sin offends Him. And so they made light of it. We see the provoking of the Father. Look what He does. Very serious business. The Bible said in verse 11, when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he said unto him, "Friend," isn't that something? Can I tell you, sinner, today, the greatest friend you'll ever find is the Lord Jesus Christ. "Friend, how camest thou in hither not having on a wedding garment?" And he was speechless. You see, there be no excuses on judgment day. He was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, "Watch, bind him hand and foot and take him away. Cast him in an outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen." Now hang on, preacher. You're getting a little too strong for us this morning. This ain't my Bible I'm reading. It's God's Bible I'm reading out of. There's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. and you must be born again to go to heaven. You say, well, you can't preach about hell and grow a church. I know some boys still are trying this morning. The pastor we had in here last Sunday preached under the power of the Holy Ghost. Some of you looking around like, what in the world's going on? Can I tell you, that's the way it ought to be all the time. If preaching offends you, honey, you better get in the Word of God and find out if you're saved or not. So we see it was predetermined by the Father. The bride satisfied. It was the predetermination about the bride. Now turn to the right, Matthew 25. Look at the preparation for the bride, Matthew 25. Here we find another text. Many of you know it by heart, the 10 virgins. There had to be preparation made for this wedding. The Bible said in Matthew 25, verse 1, then shall the kingdom of heaven be like unto 10 virgins. Watch this. They took the lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. You've heard that all your life in church. They that were foolish took their lamps and looked and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom, there's Christ, tarried. What's the bridegroom? What is Christ doing today? He's tarrying, but he's coming. You mark this down. I don't know the time nor the date, but Jesus is coming. Here the bridegroom tarried. Watch, they all slumbered and slept, and at midnight, in a time when they thought not, there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said, the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. While they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready, underline that, they that were ready went in with him to where? To the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. So here in this text, as the bride satisfied, not only we see the predetermination for the bride, but here we see a great preparation for the bride. Notice they all 10 had lamps, but they all 10 didn't have oil. Can I tell you, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his, is what our Bible says. The day that you realize, listen to me, and listen real good this morning, you must realize you are a sinner. You must look to the Savior. Repent of your sins and trust Christ to be your everything. At that time, the Bible says that the Spirit of God moves inside of us. I sure am glad that I've got the oil that's going to take to get me to heaven this morning. You say, well, preacher, they all had lamps, but they all didn't have oil. No, but they all had opportunity. I want to say, first of all, the oil was available. The oil is still available. Calvary is still flowing this morning. What a great day to be a Christian. What a great time for a sinner to hear the old story that Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Not a Baptist preacher, not a pope in a gown, but Jesus saves. And so the oil was available. You'll notice secondly, the oil was advisable. Those that tried to get in without the oil, their lamp could not be lit, and Christ rejected them. Not only was that oil available, Not only was that oil advisable, but that oil was adequate. There was five that made it in. You say, well, preacher, what's going on? Well, they all had lamps, but they all didn't have oil. You see, there was a time when a group of these reached out by faith, trusted the finished work of Christ. There's others that did not do that. Just because you go to church, just because you pay your tithes, just because you're trying to be a good person, it's not good enough to put oil in your lamp. But oh, aren't you glad by the blood flow of Calvary, there is hope for the sinner this morning. Whoa, the day when the bride is satisfied. Now I want to get to where I want to get today in preaching. Not only do we see the predetermination of the bride, the preparation of the bride. Have you made preparation for this marriage?
Yes, sir.
I want to say, have you made preparation? Thank God I've made preparation. I'm glad my name's not just on a church roll, honey. I'm glad it's in the Lamb's Book of Life, yonder in glory land world. Even so, come Lord Jesus. Bride satisfied. Now, turn with me in your Bibles. Let's go to the book of Revelation. I want you to turn to chapter number 4. Revelation chapter number 4. The predetermination of the bride, the preparation of the bride. But now I want us to see the presentation of the bride. Preacher, tell me what's going on. Let me show you a little diagram in your Bible. Revelation chapter number 4. I want you to get there with me this morning. Revelation 4. You realize that from the day of Pentecost to the end of the church age, I believe the Bible teaches is the bride of Christ. The Old Testament saints, as John alluded to, they were the friend of the bridegroom. Very different. But can I tell you, the church is the called out ones who is the bride of Christ. There are seven churches in this Bible. You'll notice in Revelation chapter 3, the last part of that chapter, is the Laodicean church. That's where we live today, is what I believe. The norm of church activity is that they're neither cold nor hot. They have need of nothing. And so now something happens at the end of this church age where we're living. Something's going to happen. Revelation 4, verse 1. All of a sudden, a door opens. Hallelujah. After this. What do you mean after this? After the church age is gone. After this, I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. The first voice that I heard, it was as of a trumpet talking with me. We said, come up hither, and I will show you the things which must be hereafter. Now here we believe this is the rapture of the church. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive spiritually and remain physically shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, and we're going to meet the Lord in the air. There's going to be a trumpet sound, and the church, honey, I come to tell you something this morning. The church is not going down. The church is going up by the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm listening for the shout any day. Say, preacher, you really believe that? I believe it more than who I am this morning. Jesus is coming. You let the talk shows, you let the liberals, you let all this crowd, these God haters and God deniers, you just wait, honey. There'll be people pull up in the parking lot of Liberty Baptist Church that morning. They'll look around and say, aren't they having church here? Somebody get the memo, no, they haven't church there. Oh, what a day when we go home to be with our blessed Savior. Hallelujah. No more power bills, Brother Mike. No more air units going out, Brother Randall.
No more thugs cutting exhaust off the van. They have buses and vans when we go. They have their yard sales and car shows here when we go. We go in yonder in glory land world. Hallelujah! Now, we notice the presentation of the bride. She's caught up. What happens, people? Preacher, what happened? 7 years of tribulation like this world has never seen. And I believe with all my heart everything is pointing in that direction. Honey, Jesus is soon to come. 7 years in a time that hit Bowdoin, Georgia like Bowdoin, Georgia's never seen. 7 years it's going to hit Washington, D.C. like Washington has never seen. Talking about the presentation of the bride. Now let's move over. Revelation 19. 7 years of tribulation is going on. The church is called out. Now we get a picture. And here's the presentation of the bride. Revelation 19. Take your pen and underline something this morning. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah! Some of y'all better be learning this heavenly language. You know, this is the first time it's mentioned in your New Testament Bible. It's mentioned four or five other times in the book of Revelation. This is the first time it's mentioned in the New Testament. Look what it says. Much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah. You know what that means? Praise Him. Salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are His judgments. For He hath judged the great whore. Who is that? That's the mother church that is fooled and deceived millions. They've not preached the word of truth. You listen to me, young people. There's one way to heaven. That's by the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. End of story. Now watch. Which did corrupt the earth with their fornication, had avenged the blood of His servants at her hand. And again they said, Hallelujah! And her smoke rose up forever and ever. The 24 elders, the four beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne. Now here's another heavenly language term. Amen. You know what that means? Truly. True. Some of y'all got your amens broke. You need to say amen. You'll holler at the ball field. Won't you say something at church? Hallelujah. I was up in Tennessee and I was in a Bible school preaching one morning. The teacher was teaching them saying, Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said, let me give y'all some Bowdoin, Georgia terminology. That's hallelujah. Put an R on the thing. Hallelujah means praise Him. Thank you. Hallelujah this morning. Oh, I know, I'm preaching to a crowd that eats that banana pudding. We eat banana pudding. Big difference. But ever how you say it, we ought to get used to saying it. Hallelujah to our great God this morning. Presentation of the bride. Now watch this. Verses 1 through 6, we see the exaltation of the Savior. I want to inform you about something. People tickle me at church. You don't have to run and shout. You don't even have to raise your hands. But I do want to inform you. In heaven, there's not a quiet side and a loud side. People there is saying hallelujah and amen. And can I tell you that's good terminology? That's a good statement to make in our church in this day and this hour. Hallelujah and amen. And so here we see the presentation of the bride, the exalting of the Savior, 1 through 6. Then we see the excitement of a supper,
Watch your Bible. Verse 7 of Revelation 19. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen. Watch this. It was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. Let me give you this little diagram this morning and finish preaching. From the day of Pentecost to the end of the church age, the day of grace, the gospel is preached. Those that are saved are the bride of Christ. At the end of that church age, the rapture is going to happen. We're going to be called out. We're going to get a new body. Those that we've planted in these graveyards across this country that were saved, they're getting up first. We're going to meet those together, and we're going to be with the Lord. We're going to get a new body. 7 years of tribulation is going to happen. Well, during this time, there's two things that's going to take place. Number one, we that are Christians, we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Don't forget that. And I want you to see it this morning. Turn with me over to the book of 1 Corinthians, and I'm going to make a statement while I'm showing you where we're going. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3 and verse 12. You see, we're going to give an account of what we've done with our works for Christ. And it's going to be at the judgment seat or the bema seat of Christ. This is not the white throne judgment. Saints never stand at the white throne judgment. That's the lost folks that know not God. But we are going to stand before the bema seat, we that are saved by the grace of God. And this is why it's so important that what we do for Jesus, we do it out of a pure heart. I want you to see this in the book of Corinthians, chapter 3, verse 12. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If a man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. Now look in verse 15. It totally lets you know that you cannot work your way into heaven. You're saved by grace through faith. You can't work your way in. Why? Because your works is going to burn up. Look what it says. If any man's work that's not right shall be burned. Watch. He shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so is by fire. This is what's happening. The rapture of the church goes up. 7 years of tribulation starts. We're in heaven with Christ. And somewhere within this time, the judgment seat of Christ happens before the marriage supper of the Lamb. We're all going to stand there as individuals to Christ. Let me tell you, Christ took our sin debt. We're not judged if we make it to heaven or hell, honey. That happens when you're living. But when we meet Him, we're going to be judged according to our works. What was our motives? What was our gestures? And I'm going to tell you, church, you can ask the woman I live with. I try my best. You ask people that live with me. I make a lot of mistakes because I'm robed with this flesh. Do you hear me? I'll fight this till I go to heaven. But I mean this with all my heart. I'm going to stand before God and give an account of what I've done for the cause of Christ. And so will all of you. That's why when we sing, we ought to sing unto the Lord. When we give, we ought not give to be seen. We ought to give to worship our Lord. Amen. Whatever we do, we should do it with the right heart and the right spirit, because these things are going to be judged. Now, this bema seat has happened. Now we take up now, and I want to show you something in Revelation 19 in closing. Just hang on with me. 10 more minutes, I'm done. Now, let us be glad and rejoice in Revelation 19:7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him for the marriage, look, of the Lamb. The emphasis is still on the Son.
The marriage of the Lamb, you see, He had to become man and walk in this world. He had to give Himself as a sacrifice on the cross. He became the Lamb of God who was slain for the sins of the world. And therefore, this marriage is all about Him. It's not so much about us, but it's about Him. Did you know at the average wedding, and I've done several, all emphasis is on the bride? But not at this marriage. The emphasis is upon the Son. And watch this. Revelation 19. Here it is. Verse 8. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. Now, the bride, look, in verse 7. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His wife hath made herself ready. What's that about? You see, when we come out of that judgment seat, we will have things about us. We realize the only reason we're there is because of the imputed righteousness that He's put in us. But here through that judgment seat is where we will be wearing the things that were right and real. Can you imagine when the church gets together at this celebration and those wedding garments that is all around this great marriage, and what a sight that's going to be? Now, what will your wedding garment look like? But then, watch this. The presentation of the bride. We see the exaltation of the Savior, but now the excitement of the supper. He says, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Now here, at this great wedding celebration, the presentation of the bride, the judgment seat has happened. There God has brought us. Notice this, the Son is going to present us to Himself. There's no doubt that God's going to reside over this ceremony. And the church will be brought together of what Christ went to the cross for. And today, this presentation of the bride, we see the exaltation of the Savior and the excitement of this marriage or this supper. Now, something happens normally when you're married. And I want to close it with this. Not only do we see the presentation of the bride, but now look at the privilege of the bride. We're going on a 1,000-year honeymoon. You say, preacher, you've been reading too many books. No, I'm reading my Bible. Watch here. Revelation 19 and verse number 11. What's going to happen after that great marriage ceremony? First of all, He said, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him. When we get there, nobody be patting theirself on the back saying, boy, I've done a good job down yonder. But we're going to be adoring Him for going to Calvary and die for you and die for me, that we may be united with Christ in that great heavenly ceremony. Now, we're going on a great honeymoon. And it's going to be something to see in Revelation 19. Watch what happens. Verse 11. You see, in Revelation 4, when that door opened, well, here heaven opened. The first time was the rapture, but now here's His return. And look what happens. I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eye was a flame of fire. On his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no man knew but he himself. I wonder what that name is. Now watch, he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And here we are, and the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I was reading something, and I like what the writer said about this great ceremony in heaven, this great marriage and the marriage supper. He said, you know, it could go like this. In the New Jerusalem times, they could put out a paper and say, yesterday, the Lamb of God took His bride unto Himself. In a service presided over by the Heavenly Father, the bride was dressed in garments of glorious white. She was spotless and without blemish. The groom was clothed in glory as his custom. The angelic hosts lifted their voices together and praised the name of the Most High God, while the cherubim and the seraphim, they hovered overhead crying, holy, holy, holy. After service, they left heaven to return to the earth for 1,000 years. But when they returned, they planned to spend eternity together in the palaces of heaven. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying the bride of Christ will be united. Oh, can you imagine? You say, well, preacher, I can't ride a horse. You'll be able to that day. You know, they recognized him riding a lowly colt, but he's coming back on a white horse, a stallion. And the people of God is going to ride back with him. Isn't that amazing? He's going to set up his kingdom on this earth in Jerusalem and sit on the throne of David. He's going to give commands all around this world, and every knee's going to bow to him. And for 1,000 years, he's going to rule and he's going to reign. Well, preacher, what happens then? Oh, we're going back to heaven with him. And then you know what's going to happen? He's going to renovate this whole place with fire. The New Jerusalem's going to descend out of heaven. Oh, my goodness, we're going to be forever with the Lord. You know, this may seem off base to you that I say this, but I thought it Saturday. I was looking on TV, one of the big golf courses, I forget what it is called, Oakmont. It caught a fire, the clubhouse. They was taking interviews, Brother Daniel, of all these people. They were thinking about all these treasures that were burnt up. Oh, they were just devastated. And I got to thinking, everything in this world's going to burn up. Some of you don't believe that, but it's in your Bible. He's going to destroy this old world. And let me tell you something. Today is the day of grace, and you could be saved this morning. Miss Sherry, I want you to come today. Church, can you imagine how satisfied we're going to be when we see Him? I thought a lot about Rebecca and Isaac as she got on that camel following that servant back. She was going to somebody that she had never seen. I would love to have seen it when they met and seen. Can you imagine when the bride of Christ meets the great bridegroom? You say, well, preacher, I'm going to ask him about some stuff. I doubt it. I would imagine we're going to keep ourselves quite busy saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. We'll stand there and come out of that judgment seat and be presented unto Him. He'll look to you and say, I died for you. And all these years I've kept you and I've loved you. And this has been the total plan of God to get you to me. And I died for you. Now we're going to live forever and ever together. Sinner, this may seem bizarre what I preached to you this morning, but can I simplify the message and tell you this today? There's a heaven to gain. There's a hell to shun. There's so many different views throughout this book, but one view you can stand your ground on and proclaim: Jesus saves sinners, and He'd save you this morning. I want everybody to stand on their feet. Miss Sherry's just going to play.